Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. It is still a draft season, and it's time for draft and breakdown session number two of the Fantasy Football Foursome. This show is brought to you every week by Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, ACC Midwest Transportation, West Central Trophies, and the United States Marine Corps. Kicking it old school today with who's on the show. Introduce yourself, Eric.
I'm Eric LeBratton from Hutchinson, Minnesota. What is this, year 12, John, of the fantasy show?
I think so.
We've been nerding out doing this for 12 years with these guys. And yeah, hopefully I can give you some good advice to draft your team and give you some waiver wire advice along the way to keep your team relevant.
Justin.
Hey, Justin Habmeyer. Can't believe it's been 12 years. Every year I think about, you know, taking a break, and every year I keep winning, which makes it very difficult. I think last year was my best year overall. And it, to be honest, I had more going on in my life outside of football last year than I ever have. So I'll probably punt it this year, having all the time in the world. I'm going to overthink everything.
How it usually goes. Jack.
Yeah, Jack Culbertson from Atlanta, Georgia, coming to you live from Mount Holly, North Carolina right now. With the three quarterback and two defense, Patrick Mahomes-led, Eugene Cyril Loon League team ready to go. This is my year, John, to reclaim my glory. Me and Patrick Mahomes and Alexander Madison. His name is Alexander Madison. Just you wait.
Wow. My name is John Jennings, and I'm looking over my Loon squad right now, which I'm okay with the starters. It's that bench that is a little touch and go. I've already, as Justin stated, I've already overthought my team. And problems always occur when I do that. I always drop somebody who's going to eventually be a good player too early. These guys pick them up. I lose because of it, and well, and various other reasons. Anyway, for the next hour, we're still going to be talking about draft season here in the fantasy football world. Our goal is to help you win your league. The way to reach out to us is on that Loon text line. It's 320-434-1234. We'll try to help you out as best we can. We've read, we've listened, we are talking amongst each other all the time, keeping an eye on the TV, trying to figure out who is the best values in the world of fantasy football. So let's get right with it and talk about news that has gone on since our last show. And I guess I just want to hear some thoughts from you guys about it. Some items much bigger than the others. And like, this is not a huge story, but people are drafting these guys, and let's kick it off. Eric, Cardinals released the person that we thought would start at quarterback. That's Colt McCoy. And they didn't activate Kyler Murray from the PUP list. This is not such a huge deal, but it does impact James Conner, Marquise Brown in deeper leagues, Zach Ertz. How do you feel about the Cardinals situation right now?
Yeah, the Cardinals situation hasn't been that great for the last couple of years. Even with Murray in there, the offense has been inconsistent. They lost their best target. He didn't want anything to do with being there. And seems like Colt McCoy, you know, new coaching staff, new look, new offense. Let's see. I'm kind of rolling the dice. I think that those guys will do fine. I mean, James Conner is a beast, and they're going to have to feed him the ball, at least at the beginning of the year. So I like Conner's stock. But the receivers, a little weary. But where they're going, John, it's not a reach where the receivers in Arizona are going.
Yeah, I'm kind of just staying away from the Cardinals in general. Justin, Jonathan Taylor did not get traded. He's still not in camp. He is on the PUP list. He's going to miss at least the first four games of the season. Where are you drafting him? Are you staying away from him? Did you drop him down your board?
Yeah, so the GM, I think, just put it perfect. For everyone, the situation just sucks for everyone involved, including fantasy, and I am avoiding him. The situation's hideous. Money can fix anything, but it seems pretty clear they're not going to pay him. I can see him sitting out, you know, this year and holding out. Plus the ankle injury could be a real thing, still complaining about pain. I'm avoiding Jonathan Taylor. it's just too big of a risk for me. If he starts falling closer to like the eighth, ninth round, I think he's in the sixth, seventh right now, then maybe I take a, I'll take a late round flyer, because at that point, they're all lottery tickets anyway.
Fun fact is that I read that the owner of the Colts, Jim Irsay, paid something around $20 million to transport like a whale or a killer whale from an aquarium to the ocean, or from an ocean to the aquarium. $20 million to transport a whale. Doesn't have the money for Jonathan Taylor. Interesting.
Yeah, but he has that 20 mil because he makes good business decisions.
There is that. Jack, Miami running back Jeff Wilson Jr. placed on IR. He's not going to play the first four games of the season. Where are you putting Raheem Mostert, who is 31 years old and oftentimes broken, and Devon Achane in your rankings?
Well, I picked up Mostert in a league where I could. I think the main thing for a lot of these players is just avoiding them in the guillotine leagues. That's what I had to watch out with Jonathan Taylor. I've taken Taylor in the sixth round in one of my leagues, but in the guillotine league, I had to avoid them altogether, kind of the same as Kamara. But in Miami, I like Mostert. I think Hunt visited Miami, didn't come out with anything. So for me, Mostert's probably going to be my RB2, if not my starting running back, because I avoided running backs like the plague in the draft.
Interesting strategy there. Eric, TJ Hockenson signs a historic tight end deal with the Vikings. Evidently, his runny nose or whatever the problem he was saying he had to hold out in camp is over. He's probably feeling a lot better now. Are you worried about rust on Hockenson based on no camp? He is being drafted, what, tight end 3-4, something like that.
No, I think he'll be ready, in shape, ready to go. Highest paid tight end in the league. I don't think he's the best tight end in the league, but, setting the precedence to get Kelsey and the boys paid. But he's a top five tight end. I like that the Vikings are going to have a big blocking, catching tight end. And let's see if Kirk Cousins can throw some touchdowns to him.
I'd like it if we had given some money to a defensive player, but it's good to have an exciting offense. I mean, what can you do? No action is going to be taken against Tyreek Hill of the Dolphins for a summer incident that he was involved in, so you can not worry about that when you're drafting him. Justin, Sean McVay said that Cooper Kupp has suffered a setback with his hamstring and is now day-to-day. Last I saw, Rams have like 40 rookies in camp. They have Aaron Donald and 10 other guys playing defense that you don't know their names. What happens to Cooper Kupp on your board? Some are saying that the Rams are going to try and tank for Caleb Williams too.
So Kupp just keeps sliding further down in my rankings for the first round. And now he's all the way down to, somewhere in the 10-12 range for me. At that point, I'll grab him simply because the entire Rams offensive system goes through Cooper Kupp. So when he plays, he is going to get you a shot at 10 receptions, 100-plus yards, and a touchdown every single game. So I'll still grab him. But guys like Bijan Robinson and Saquon Barkley, Tyreek Hill, they're all ahead of him now for me.
Jack?
That's why Justin's team name is 2 Games, 1 Cup, because that's how many games Cooper Kupp's going to see this year.
Wow. So you're not eye on him at all, Jack.
No, I draft around him 100%. He's going, you have to draft him, like you said, with the 12th pick. Like, you have to take him too early. That means you're kind of gambling the anchor of your season on Cooper Kupp, who last year already saw a drop off. I mean, this is what, his second setback in preseason? And I mean, let's be real, the Rams suck. I don't like it.
There you go. Okay.
Take that, Sean McVay.
Jack, Mike Evans has set a week one deadline to negotiate a new deal with Tampa Bay. Does this impact his draft position with you, Baker Mayfield being named the starter?
Now, anybody taking a player from the NFC South in the draft already has problems. The NFC South is what we call the Flyers nowadays. Other than maybe Bijan Robinson, who I don't know why he went so high. We'll see. But I think if you're relying on Mike Evans in your draft to be the player that's going to get you what he, you know, was 2-3 years ago, your season's already over. Where did he go? 5th, 6th round, I think, in some of the drafts. I mean, his ADP dropped quite a bit in a lot of them. So, no, I mean, it doesn't impact me, but I wasn't aiming at him anyways. I don't know anybody. If you're still aiming at Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, I mean, come on. This is not your granddad's Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mike Evans, or I just
don't think anyone's, yeah, nobody's aiming at him. Their ADP is in those rounds where,
that's what, yeah, he's in the 5th or 6th round,
yeah. Mike Evans and Godwin right now,
Godwin was probably the 8th round, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not worried about him holding out for week one, holding out for a deal or anything, because he's already going so late in the draft, and I'm not drafting an NFC South receiver other than Drake London, and that's just a homer take.
Do you think Desmond Ritter's got the juice, Jack?
I don't know if he has the juice or not, John. I'll be honest with you. I don't think we find out with Arthur Smith as head coach. I'm a one-and-done guy. He should have been out already. He so misutilized Kyle Pitts last year. Marcus Mariota, any coach that loses his starting quarterback to the point where he leaves the team before the end of the season, there's just some problems there. And Desmond, the fact that they just stuck with Desmond Ridder, who showed us that he is good enough to finish out the second half of the game when your starter gets injured and not lose it for you. That is what we're rolling into the season with. And then we have Drake London, Bijan Robinson, and Kyle Pitts, three powerful offensive weapons that, to me, I don't think have anyone that's going to be able to, you know, orchestrate the field to get him the ball.
I find it interesting. People are praising Arthur Smith for the job he did last year, that an Atlanta fan would be disgusted with him.
A lot of people are wrong a lot of the time.
Okay. Eric, last one here before we take our first break. Terry McLaurin, Jerry Jeudy, missing time with injuries. Are you bumping up Cortland Sutton and Jahan Dotson, maybe even some Marvin Mims for Denver?
I mean, yeah, I think it's new offense. We got Sean Payton coming in there. I mean, I think this offense is going to be phenomenal this year. Russell Wilson, I mean, I don't think he was given a fair shake with the coaching staff and the you know, play calls that they were doing with the old coaching staff. So I think we're going to see some big things out of Denver this year, at least some good fantasy offense. I'm not sure if it's going to amount to wins, but there should be some good fantasy. I like Sutton this year. I think he should definitely be up about 10 from what they were, about 10 spots from what they were a couple weeks ago.
All right, we're going to take our first break here on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Come back and talk more about sleepers, busts, other things, because some things have changed since we did the XL version last week. We'll be right back with more after this on The Loon. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're going to talk about this segment. We're going to talk about some guys who are moving up our boards. Call them sleepers, call them whatever you want. But these are guys who we're a little bit more excited about than we were before. And let's kick it off. Just throwing out to me, Eric. What do you got?
All right, John. Well, I'm going to go. It's not necessarily a sleeper, but moving up boards, John, I think Christian McCaffrey. If I had the first pick right now, I would take Christian McCaffrey first. Pick he's jumping ahead against. I honestly like a couple of the running backs, but I like Christian McCaffrey going back up to that number one. I think he's going to be a beast in San Francisco. So it sounds like he's very healthy and going to obviously be a big part of this offense. It probably hurts guys like Deebo Samuel and other weapons in San Francisco, but I think Christian McCaffrey should be drafted number one.
I like it. Justin, somebody moving up your board.
Well, I'm going to go to the running back position as well. And for me, it's got to be Damian Pierce. He seems like he could be this year's Josh Jacobs. He's going to get the volume. He runs violently, and he's sliding down to, you know, pick 34. He's like RB 14, 15-ish, depending on what format you're in. So Damian Pierce has been moving up draft boards for me.
Jack, give me somebody moving up the board.
Well, not position-specific here, going to wide receiver, but Cortland Sutton, just with everything going on with Judge Judy there. And I agree with Eric's breakdown on Denver with Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. I don't know how many wins they'll have, but it should be a fun show to watch. I just think of Russell Wilson as being similarly designed to Drew Brees, got a little undersized, but he's got a great arm speed. You know, he's got good, you know, he can read the defense and that kind of thing. So, and he's running out of people to throw the ball to. So I think, you know, Cortland Sutton could have a pretty good first few weeks, especially maybe in a guillotine league. He might be worth an earlier flyer than you were thinking. In another league, maybe, you know, he's a handcuff to Judy, because I think if Judy's there, he's dominant number one.
I will stay with the guys that are probably in the top couple of rounds. So last week on the XL version of the Fantasy Football Foursome, I said that this guy was, in my opinion, going to be a bust, and that's Garrett Wilson. Well, now I'm going to flip-flop on that, because when I said Garrett Wilson, I didn't know that Corey Davis was going to retire and that Alan Lazard was going to be banged up, and they're not going to sign anybody else. And Randall Cobb came over on the Mayflower. Who's left? Garrett Wilson. You know, on some of these sheets, I see him as a second-round pick. He's a fringe first-round pick now, being he is the only thing. And not only that, but he is a really, really good football player. Don't be one bit afraid to reach for Garrett Wilson early second round. Dare I say maybe even first round at this point, because I'm not sold on Davante Adams with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Eric, John, question for you. Did you have a binge watch of Hard Knocks this weekend?
I've never seen an episode ever of Hard Knocks. Why? Was it all Garrett Wilson all the time?
I mean, I think he looks great, and obviously Rodgers is always going to have a number one receiver. So, I mean, who is Rodgers going to throw to all the time? It's Davante Adams, or nope, he's not there anymore. So now it's Wilson. I mean, that's going to be his go-to guy. He loves getting a guy get 180 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, yeah, this is the stud on the team, and this is the weapon he's going to use.
I thought it would be Lazard. I thought it might be Corey Davis, being he's a veteran. But I've never seen an episode of Hard Knocks. I can't bring myself to do that. Plus, I hate Aaron Rodgers.
Look, Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson and Cobb in his heyday, they rarely went in the first round in a draft. Maybe Davante Adams at the peak of his game. Don't be the Garrett Wilson first round leader in the clubhouse, John. You're not taking.
We'll see.
New York Jets wide receiver.
Yeah, listen.
In the first freaking round, that's not happening.
We'll see.
It is happening. I'm 100% with John. 16
team league. Come on.
No. Listen. Hold on. That's my name on the trophy from last year. The guy who won. The guy who has won two Lombardis, and nobody else has done that.
Listen, or, if we get to live on past victories, my name's
the guy
right
who
under
came
there.
In. Dead last year. So Garrett Wilson has the upside. Eric's point was the best. Rodgers will always have a
You're
number
not
one.
Drafting.
By the way, Davante Adams has been a first round draft pick for years.
Yeah. No, he has not.
So Jordy Nelson.
He has not been a first round draft pick. A first round draft pick because he has upside. You're drafting a first round draft pick because
you
know what you're going to get.
No, that's you're not drafting him solely for the floor.
He has a guaranteed 350 points.
Wow. Well, he has upside. He has upside to get 40-plus touchdowns.
Yeah, he's something special. All right, let's get this train back on the tracks. Eric, give me another guy who's moving up your board.
I'm going to stick at the running back position. I think Najee Harris has a good year this year, John. I mean, for where he's being drafted in the draft, I mean, this guy should definitely be an RB number one. I like this Pittsburgh offense this year, and I think he sneaks a lot of good touchdowns. I mean, this is a really, really good player on a very mediocre team the last few years, and they look good this year. The defense looks good, and I like the running back, Najee Harris. Probably going up. You're going to be able to sneak him a little bit later, John, than those top running backs, but I love him as an RB two.
Justin, another guy climbing your board.
So we definitely didn't plan this, but I'm just going to give you the Pittsburgh Steelers. I agree on Najee Harris, but I'm even bigger on the pass catchers. Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, I think in your two QB leagues, Kenny Pickett is absolutely going to outperform his ADP right now. So I like all the Steelers. I mean, they've been almost perfect in preseason with the starters going against other team starters. I got it. It's preseason, but they don't. I mean, they've scored on every single drive. So I am rising on the Pittsburgh Steelers offense.
Jack, give me somebody climbing your rankings.
Finally, Justin says something that makes sense because, again, we didn't plan it, but my next name was Pat Freiermuth. I think once Kelsey and maybe Andrews are off the board, people looking at Hockenson, Waller, homers like me are looking at Pitts but not getting them. I think you can just wait until the end and take Freiermuth and probably have a top five, definitely a top 10 tight end. And he'll have the same drop off from Kelsey and maybe Andrews that everybody has, but you won't have to pay for the guy. So I agree. I think Steelers offense is going to surprise us. Yeah. Freiermuth.
A guy who's going up my board a little bit is Khalil Herbert, running back of the Chicago Bears. The sheet I'm looking at right now has him at the ADP is at about running back 33. He's going to start. He's going to catch passes. I think there's a little bit more value in a PPR league. I think Justin Fields is, I think the passing is coming along. Although I did watch a great clip on Twitter of him throwing it right into the back of one of his guards' helmets. Which was pretty amusing. But Khalil Herbert, I you have to be scared of Justin Fields. They do have DJ Moore for whatever that's worth. So Khalil Herbert, it's not like you can stack the box and wait for Khalil Herbert. I see some RPO action going on in Chicago, and I think he's going to give you running back two performance, and you can get him pretty late. Like he's right now player number 101 on this sheet. Eric, give me another one. Somebody climbing your ranks.
You know, not really climbing my ranks, John, but look, listening to a lot of the shows, Keenan Allen is jumping up on boards. I don't know why this guy's jumping on boards, but he is kind of – he's looking good. He's looking good in the preseason. He's healthy. I mean, a healthy Keenan Allen in a PPR league in that offense, sure. But when's the last time he stayed healthy? It's been years. But he is jumping up on draft boards, and I see he's moved up about two rounds since we drafted last week. So – keep an eye on Keenan Allen, and I do like that San Diego offense. They do look pretty dang good.
Justin.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. You know, they got Kellen Moore over there. Justin Herbert's healthy. Keenan Allen finished last year on an absolute tear. That's gotten me to rise on him as well. I am going to give you another quarterback, and I'm going to go with the Howell, Sam Howell out in Washington. I stumbled upon little stat that he rushed for over 800 yards last year in college, which is a lot. So I had no idea he'd rush that much. I knew it was in his profile. I just didn't know it was that much. So I am rising big time on Howell with Jahan Dotson and having Terry McLaurin on the outside.
Jack.
Name I was big on last year, and when he was healthy, he played really well. But Tua Tagovailoa, a.k.a. Eugene Cyril, if he's healthy, he's a top five QB. Obviously, no one's going to bank that the guy's going to be healthy. I think we'd all take the under on whether or not he starts every game. But especially like we have a two QB league now, I think, with the Super Flex League coming up, Tua's a great guy to get. He was available in a lot of the last or second to last rounds in some of the 10-man drafts I did, 10-team drafts. So if you miss out on your QBs, but you still want really high upside, and now we're talking about actual upside, Tua Tagovailoa in the late rounds, I think could be a really great grab. But I like Sam Howell a ton. And I auto drafted him in one league when I couldn't find my player. And I was like, oh, I'm good with that because I was going to take him in a few rounds anyways. So,
my last guy is Calvin Ridley. And when I'm looking at the sheets right now, the two guys ahead of him and, you know, Eric talked about Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen and Deebo Samuel are ahead of Calvin Ridley right now. And if I could be guaranteed Keenan Allen's going to be on the field for 17 games, I would take Keenan Allen probably over Ridley, but not Samuel, I don't think. I don't know. I think Calvin Ridley is one of those guys in my drafts who I have no shares of, have wanted, and then somebody has taken him right before me. Which just always brings out a damn it or something like that. I think Calvin Ridley and Trevor Lawrence already have plenty of things going good for them. Ridley has, yes, a year and a half off, but that doesn't mean he just sat and ate Chick-fil-A. He sat around and he worked out and he did football stuff and he stayed healthy. And I love Calvin Ridley. Nobody here should be surprised if Calvin Ridley ends up being the wide receiver one this season. I just firmly believe that. All right, we're going to come back and talk about the guys who are going down in our specific rankings. And we've got more to talk about. And Jack?
I'll give you a teaser. One of them's named Justin. Last name ends in Avemeyer.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, hey, if we can help you out in any way, shape, or form, please shoot us a text on that Loon text line. It's 320-434-1234. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome, and thanks to our sponsors, the United States Marine Corps, Rough Swings and Sports Bar, ACC Midwest Transportation, and West Central Trophies, online at westcentraltrophies.com. Order yourself up your own Loon Barty, but you can't call it Loon Barty. But if you want to see it, it is right here in our Uptown Wilmer studio. We've got it right up front for everybody to take a look at. And it is funny to watch people come by and just look at it and look at the names. And some people take pictures of it. And, you know, you can get your own traveling trophy just by going to West Central Trophies. He's got hundreds and hundreds of things to check out. Great local business right on Business 71. Again, it's westcentraltrophies.com. Let's talk about guys going down our draft boards, and I'm sure we're all going to have differing opinions on this, which is why I love this show so much. Justin, give me somebody going down your draft board right now.
Well, I think we'll all say Cooper Kupp, Jonathan Taylor, a couple of the obvious ones. But outside of that, for me, moving down my draft board, I hate to do it, but I'm going to say Joe Burrow. It's not that I dislike Joe Burrow. It's not that I don't think he'll be great this year. I just don't like him at his ADP. There's an outside chance he goes back to a little bit more rushing. The thing is, he doesn't need to. He's just such a good passer, and he makes decisions so quickly that I don't think he'll ever do a whole lot of it. So I find myself, you know, drafting around Joe Burrow. I'm not grabbing him at his ADP.
Jack, somebody coming down your draft board.
Oh, yeah. And I decided for this segment, John, I'm only going to pick on your guys' teams. So I went through the draft recap, and your second round pick, John, won my vote. Mark Andrews, you took him with the 23rd overall pick. He's coming down my draft board for this reason. TJ, you took him 23rd. Hockenson went in our league, a Minnesota league, 55th. I don't think Andrews is two rounds better than Hockenson. So for me, what you have to pay for Andrews, he's coming down my draft board. I think in that second, you could have taken Josh Allen. You could have taken Hurts, Metcalf, Waddle, so many other players. I'm not taking Andrews in the second round. I'm skipping them altogether. It's Kelsey or give me the next tier.
Who did I take in the third, Jack?
Oh, let's take a look. You took Hurts third round.
Just checking on that. Yeah, thanks. I would have flip-flopped those picks. I'd have taken Hurts in the second, and I'd have taken Andrews in the third. I have Andrews in my league.
I wouldn't mess with you as much if you did. But you might not have got him because Airplane did take Kittle. He took Allen and then Kittle, so you might not have gotten him, but I think you'd have been fine without him.
At that time, Hockenson was still nursing his fake injuries, I am very high on Mark Andrews.
Everything you did show, John. Nope. This is the where are people going down on your board show.
I am all about Mark Andrews this year. I have no complaints, no regrets about taking him. A guy that's moving down my draft board, Eric said he's moving up on his, and I get that. But I'm not ready to take Najee Harris in the third. And I'm looking at Fantasy Pros ADPs or the expert consensus rankings, and where they've got him is overall 27. I'm very concerned. And while I also am high on the Pittsburgh Steelers, you guys took the Steelers, and I was going to take Pat Freiermuth moving up my board just like Jack did. I'm high on him. I'm just so scared about a split backfield. And taking Najee Harris in 27 overall, that means an early third round pick real concerned about Jalen Warren eating some of that workload. Warren would move up in my ranks. Najee Harris is moving down. I don't see myself having too many shares of Najee Harris. Eric, who's the guy moving down your board?
You know, I'm going to go with a guy ranked about 15th in fantasy drafts, Nick Chubb. We talked about him last week. I know people will probably disagree with me because this guy's a beast, but I see him finishing behind running backs like Etney and Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, and all these guys are being drafted much later than him. So I think at a 15th pick, I'd much rather have even a Patrick Mahomes or A.J. Brown, something, or even like we talked about earlier, Garrett Wilson. I mean, I like all these guys ahead of Chubb. I see him slipping back, at least in my draft, to the late second, early third round.
Justin, another guy moving down your draft board.
It's Amari Cooper. Because I hate Deshaun Watson, and he is wildly inaccurate. He's a piece of crap, and I think he completely tanks Amari Cooper.
Short and sweet. Jack, another guy moving down your draft board.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm trying not to just pick on just your team, John. That's the problem.
Feel free.
All right. Well, okay. I'll fire away. And we'll say Bijan Robinson. And I'm going to say, for all the reasons I said before, and I know everybody thinks like wild take, but I just think when you have to take, if Bijan Robinson was drafted by the Bengals or by the Niners and they didn't have a McCaffrey or something like that, but I just don't know that Atlanta is going to be a good enough team to have anyone on the Atlanta Falcons go in the first round, almost no matter who they are, you know, outside of Julio Jones every year that he ever suited up. God rest his soul. I just think that for where you're paying for Bijan, unless you're in a keeper league or something where you get to keep your first rounder the next year, I just don't want to stake my season on him in the first round. Second round, I wouldn't pass him up. Third round for sure. First round, he's going fifth, sixth. You know, I mean, you could name 20 other players that score over 300 fantasy points a year that are going after him that are guarantees. Why would you take Robinson before you took Kelsey or Mahomes or Tyreek Hill or, you know, Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs or you know, whatever.
Mark
Andrews.
There's
only a couple of people, you know, so I wouldn't do it.
Did you watch him play college football, Jack? This kid's pretty good.
Yes.
I mean,
I know that he's good. And you know how many college football players, and now running backs more so than others do, but how many college football players don't translate to the pros? I think he's going to be a great player. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I wouldn't stake my first round fantasy season on the guy. If I'm the Falcons, I'd draft him, but I wouldn't draft him for fantasy purposes in the first round.
Okay. Yeah, we all got burned on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. His rookie year, or maybe it was his second year. Yeah. But this isn't Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think this kid's going to be a stud. I am staying far away, far away. I will not have him on any of my teams, and that it's from Cam Akers. Not a hot take. Fourth round pick, maybe a fifth round pick, early fifth round pick, according to Fantasy Pros ADPs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you got a starting running back. Yeah, there's not much else happening out there. Yeah, McVay is super cool and everything else. And I just don't like Cam Akers, and I don't want any part of what I feel is going to be a rotten offense. And especially if they don't have Cup, now they can put just 12 guys in the box. And I don't like that play at all. Eric, another guy moving down your draft board.
You know, and I hate to give you this name because he was one of my favorite players a couple years ago, Deebo Samuel. I give you that player based on the fact that I think Christian McCaffrey is going to take away a lot of his glory. He didn't have a great year last year. And as just a wide receiver, if he's going to be played more as just a wideout or mostly as a wideout, I see him falling. I don't like him in the third round. I like him more in the fourth. I mean, again, a guy that I probably off name recognition would draft in the fourth over a lot of those guys. But in the third round, even I've seen some people jumping up in the late second round. Deebo Samuel, I just see him dropping this year. Again, we're riding that wave from 2 years ago. If you go look at last year's stats, they weren't the greatest.
Justin, give me somebody else moving down your board.
Yeah, I think Brandon Ayuk finishes ahead of Deebo Samuel this year in fantasy points. So I agree with that one. For me, it's James Conner. The problem with James Conner is compare him to Alexander Mattison, right? And they're going relatively in the same spot, except Alexander Madison's on a much, 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 much better team, a much, much, much better offense, a much, much, much better quarterback. And yes, Conner proved that he could do it last year, but he has no big play potential either. In his career, this guy doesn't run more than 15 yards on a carry. So James Conner is dropping down my draft board. I'm okay with him as my RB2 if I go, you know, hero RB. But if I go zero RB, I'm not grabbing him as my first running back. I'm taking somebody after him with way more upside.
Jack, somebody else moving down your draft boards.
Well, you know, I just based on the injury, I guess I would say maybe Judy, but I hate to give you an injury take. I didn't have somebody, John, because I was kind of looking up some Cam Akers stuff because I kind of didn't agree with you there. So I'm just going to attack you for a second. I appreciate the patience.
Perfect.
Cam Akers went 58th overall in our draft in the Loon League here. And I think that that's right where he belongs, if not maybe sooner. And then I look at some of the people that were taken after him. And Justin, you had some freaking great picks as I was going through there. But, you know, he was taken before Rashad White in Tampa Bay, as he should have been. He was taken before Miles Sanders in Carolina, as he should have been. You know, Denver running back, Cook. I think he's right where he needs to be, maybe even a little bit sooner. I think Cam Akers could have a really good year. And if you get him in the fifth round, I think that's the perfect pick for Cam Akers. I love that. I don't think the whole offense is going to go through Cup. It's time to start running the ball.
But they don't have anybody there. Stafford can't play with these guys. There's nothing left in L.A. other than Cup, Stafford, and 80% of Cam Akers. I just don't think it's worth a fifth-round pick. I just tell you what, you take him before me in all the rest of our drafts.
Hey, fifth-round pick, though, John. No. Fifth round. I think he's more, I mean, it's like same as the Bijan Robinson. Everything you just said, you could apply to Atlanta for the Bijan Robinson. Desmond Ridder can't play with these guys. Yeah, Drake London's got great hands, but nobody will throw him the ball. Arthur Smith doesn't believe in tight ends. Kyle Pitts isn't seeing anything. Name the next wide receiver in Atlanta, and then you want to give Bijan Robinson all the glory, and you take him in the first round? Can't say that and then say Akers isn't worth a fifth-round flyer.
I didn't say I'm taking him in the first round. I'm saying on Fantasy Pros ADP, here are guys being taken after Cam Akers. Alexander Mattison, Brandon Ayuk, DeAndre Hopkins, Drake London, Tyler Lockett. I'd take all of those guys over Cam Akers. And I'd do it 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, I don't disagree unless I needed that second running back. I don't disagree, but I just think where he went for running backs in two RB leagues, that's where he goes, the fifth round. It's perfect.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I wouldn't take London ahead of him, but the rest of them I would.
Yeah.
Not Drake London.
Neither would I. I'm not sold on your guy Ridder, Jack.
You could take Drake London and trade him to Carter, trade him to Eric's boy Carter, though, for probably a pretty good player. He loves Atlanta.
I do like Drake London. Yeah. Drake London, the player, the talent. But Ridder has bumped him way down for me.
Yeah, me too.
I will close it out with Jahmyr Gibbs, who is being taken in the third round in a lot of drafts. And it's not because he's not a good player. I'm worried he's going to be a 20-20 back. And then David Montgomery's going to get touchdowns and take the Jamal Williams role. I just don't think you're going to get third round value out of Jahmyr Gibbs, who I think is going to be great, but I think they're going to let Montgomery pound it into the end zone if they're going to give it to the running backs. All right, we'll come back with more Fantasy Football Foursome. And again, if we can help you out in any way whatsoever, it's that Loon text line, 320-434-1234. Time for the last segment of the draft edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for being with us. Now we're going to talk about late round flyers. Maybe not guys who are going to win your league, but maybe guys who might surprise you and make your starting lineup and actually make an impact, not just be that flex, a bi-week flex guy. So we're going to go people ranked about 100 and higher So we're talking, you know, 10th round, stuff like that. And give me, Jack, a guy who is a late round flyer for you who you think could impact.
Yeah, so not one that I was able to grab in this particular league. Everything I go by is a loon league, but with the 120th overall pick, old Zeke and Destroy took Juju Smith-Schuster, who should be the number one target in New England. You know, they've got a plethora of running backs that they'll never give the ball to one of them consistently. I think this could be Juju's comeback year, maybe a double-digit touchdown year, 10 touchdowns and, you know, maybe 800 yards or something like that. But he's a huge guy. He's fast. He's still very young and healthy. So I love that in that late of a round.
Eric, somebody, a late-round flyer.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go with a guy who's being drafted at average draft position is 111. So after that 100 mark, I'm going to go with Sky Moore. We talked about him last week. I think this guy's going to have a beast of a year. He's got the best quarterback in football throwing the football. Just didn't get a lot of opportunities last year, but he has moved up in the wide receiver, I think, 2 position on this team. And, you know, you got a lot of the old veterans still there, receivers, but this guy should be drafted a lot higher than 111, John.
Justin, somebody, a late round flyer.
Yeah, I'm going to go. He's around 106. I'm taking Zay Flowers. But, you know, I like the Monken offense. We don't know who the number one receiver is going to be in Baltimore, if we're all being honest. Everyone has kind of their favorite. But he's, you know, the youngest guy, the rookie. He's a first-round draft pick. He's a first-round talent as well. And he's got no injury history like Odell and Rashad Bateman do. So I love grabbing Zay Flowers because I can absolutely see him finishing as a wide receiver too, top, you know, 25, 30-ish.
I'm going to give you a guy ranked 128th on my screen, and this is a probably more of a standard league play than PPR, but I think he's going to have value in that too, and that's Tank Bigsby from Jacksonville. I think, like I talked about last hour, what a 20-20 back. I think ETN might turn out to be the 20-20 back, and I think Tank Bigsby might be the guy moving the ball in, because ETN failed, I don't know how many times, like he one of 13 attempts or something like that to get it into the end zone last year. So they bring in Tank Bigsby, who is a big dude. He's a bowling ball with legs. And I think that's going to be Jacksonville's go-to around the goal line. I think at a certain point, he could become an every week flex and he can catch the ball too. So I like him. Boy, 10th round pick. I think that's great value there. Jack, give me another late round flyer.
Yeah, the receivers are so easy to pick out of this group because there's so many good – there's such good depth at receiver across the league. But we talked earlier about the Jets. I'm going to go Alan Lazard. You know, you could take your Garrett Wilsons wherever you want, but you can get Lazard way late, and he's back with Rodgers. Rodgers targeted the guy double-digit times multiple times – targets multiple times in games. And there, I think there's just going to be a natural comfort that's there. The weather's the same. The fan base is still going to be wearing green. It's just a different shade. I think that Alan Lazard should have been way higher on everybody's board. I'm pretty sure I got him in almost all my leagues.
Eric, somebody, late round flyer.
All right, John. Well, I'm going to give you a name that should be drafted a lot higher than 123. So in the 12th round, Anthony Richardson. I mean, this rookie quarterback should be drafted before Tua, Daniel Jones, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson. I'm taking him above all those guys. This guy should easily finish in the top 10. I like the way the team looks, but I also like the way this guy played in college. He's going to run the football. He reminds me a lot of like Justin Fields, but even better. I'm taking a flyer on this guy over all them quarterbacks I just named, and he is being drafted well after all those quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Justin, late round flyer.
Real quick, John, just being as I'm in Carolina, he reminds me of Cam Newton. If they can figure out how to use this guy, he is going to be a phenomenal point scorer.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. Go ahead, Justin.
All right, well, I'm going to give you a running back. I'll deviate. I got a lot of receivers, but I'll jump over to running back. Jaylen Warren for Pittsburgh. This kid's like lightning in a bottle. He's exciting. He's got big play potential every time he touches the ball. He looked great when he got the opportunity last year. He looked great in the preseason so far, and I see this turning potentially into, you know, a 60-40 split between him and Najee Harris as the year goes on. And it could be like a discount version of last year's, you know, Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, or more likely like 2 years ago, Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard. So I like grabbing Jaylen Warren. He's 131st ADP right now.
I am going to throw out, again, looking at Fantasy Pros, the ranking as far as how where he's going. Number 140 is old man Adam Thielen, and he's now a slot receiver. Kind of the where the guy on the outside goes when we're a little long in the tooth. Sounds like he's had a great camp. Sounds like he's looking pretty good. If all things connect with a rookie quarterback, the strength of schedule is there. This guy could turn back into an every week flex. One of those guys, one of those, just those slot guys who's getting nine catches a week. I really think there's going to be PPR value with Adam Thielen, and wide receiver 59 overall 140. I don't know. Like him a lot. Jack.
Yeah, I had a whole slew of receivers also, and I was trying to give you anyone but a receiver. I mean, I just can't, though. There's too many of them. So I'm going to go with KJ Osborne. I'm watching the guy get drafted in the 13th round, 12th round, 14th round. You know, no Adam Thielen, and I know Hawkinson's probably going to get some of those end zone looks Thielen might have got. But KJ is also a big-bodied receiver, and I think that Jefferson is going to garner – more attention from defenses than we've seen since, you know, Randy Moss in New England kind of a deal. I think he's just going to get covered as much as they can cover him. And I think KJ is going to have an opportunity to make a name for himself. So where he's going in drafts, I think he should go higher than that. I would certainly take a flyer on him. I wouldn't let him get to that. You know, he went 12th round for us. That's about as late as I'd let him go.
Eric.
I'm going to mention a name. I mentioned earlier, John, Russell Wilson. I'm going to give you another quarterback that should be moving up in your drafts. Russell Wilson, better than Geno Smith, better than Tua, Daniel Jones. I mean, this guy, and you can get him, I think he's going average at 126 right now, so that 12th round. This guy should be drafted a lot earlier with that Denver offense. And like I said, Sean Payton coming in there, John. I mean, I understand that Drew Brees might have made Sean Payton look good, but I believe it was a mutual thing, and I think Sean Payton's going to bring a different dynamic to that offense.
Justin, late-round flyer.
I'll jump over to the tight end, and just because they're back-to-back, 133 and 134 PPR format, I'm going to give you Tyler Higbee and Dalton Kincaid. Tyler Higbee is probably the number two receiving option on that Rams offense right now. And if you are worried about Cooper Kupp and he does go down with an injury, Higbee might become the number one target for Matt Stafford at the tight end position. And then Dalton Kincaid in Buffalo, he's been with the first team all preseason, in practice, in camp, looks phenomenal. And I talked about this last week, right? What if what's his name that's in front of him that, you know, year after year we kind of like, Dawson Knox, sorry. Mm-hmm. What if Dawson Knox didn't get more play because he just wasn't that good, right? And the Bills system and Josh Allen made him look better. Dalton Kincaid is phenomenal. The talent is absolutely there. He is that good. So 134th tight end. Look, if I miss out on Pat Freiermuth is kind of the end for me. If I haven't got my tight end by the time he goes, I'm going to take a flyer on Dalton Kincaid or Tyler Higbee ahead of everyone in between those two guys and Pat Freiermuth in the rankings.
Well, Jack thinks Cam Akers is going to be the NFL MVP this year. So we got to be careful about that. But
I've got the NFL MVP for you next,
Jack. Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Aggressive.
I will stay with tight end as well. And that is player ranked 154, Juwan Johnson, New Orleans Saints. I guess he and Derek Carr are just bros. They can finish each other's sentences. Things are just going splendidly at Saints camp. And Derek Carr is very excited to play with Juwan Johnson, a converted wide receiver, which means he's probably not going to be blocking. He is running routes. He is catching the ball. He is looking good. Tight end mandatory start only. for a pick like that, and he should be your second tight end, a wait-and-see type of deal, but I like him a lot. Jack.
All right, I'm going to give you 175 times getting the ball, over 800 yards, and 8 touchdowns, and drafted 101st by me, Cordarrelle Patterson. I think you could take a late-round flyer on Cordarrelle Patterson and hold on to him and see what happens. If Bijan Robinson turns out to be everything you guys think he is, then obviously that puts Patterson out the pasture, end of discussion, right? But if that's not the case and they find other uses for this guy, and including in the return game, you know, because he received the ball quite a bit, you know, was targeted a lot in the air, was handed off the ball a lot. Again, like I said, over 800 yards, 8 touchdowns, and I got him in the 101st pick because I'm a bit of a homer. Most leagues, you can get him later than that. I think he's worth the spot in your bench.
Eric, last late-round flyer.
John, I'm going to stick with the rookie class. I'm going to give you Jordan Addison. I mean, this guy should be drafted. He's being drafted about 10th round, 100th pick overall. I'm taking this guy as my in the 7th round. I mean, I'm you have to move up in draft boards in Minnesota, obviously, to get him. But this guy is a legit. Jefferson's going to draw double coverage. I mean, teams are going to game plan to not let Jefferson beat him. And you got Addison on the other side this year. I think he has a beast of a year, at least for in a PPR and yards. I'm not sure it's going to amount to a lot of touchdowns, but I would probably say TJ is going to steal a lot of those. But I like Addison moving up draft boards, going from the 10th round to about the 7th round. Again, if you're in Minnesota, you're going to have to jump to the 7th round to get this guy.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Justin, last late round flyer.
Whether you draft Derrick Henry or not, I love Tyjae Spears. He's 171st right now in drafts for Tennessee. If you have Derrick Henry, I definitely grab. Listen, I'm not a guy that says you have to handcuff your number one RB. You shouldn't force it. But this, he has upside and standalone value this year, I think. And he's going so late that I feel it's a no-brainer to just grab him if you have Derrick Henry later in your draft. And if something does happen to Henry, he has the talent to produce if he's given the opportunity. So going with Tyjae Spears. Again, he's like the 171st overall. He's a 57th ranked running back.
My last one is at 168, player rank, wide receiver 69, and that is Marvin Mims Jr. Jerry Judy's hurt, and there should be a second option. I don't know if it's going to be Dulcich or if it's going to be Adam Troutman, who Peyton brought in, but Marvin Mims could get you wide receiver 2 numbers, at least while Judy's hurt, and who knows what's going to happen with these soft tissue deals, and I don't know. But I think early on in the season, Marvin Mims is going to show you. Sutton's going to draw everything over to him. So Mims is going to have the single coverage. And I think at least for the first 2-3 weeks, he's going to get you a lot of points. And I think he's going to be a plug and play wide receiver too. That's going to do it for our draft edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. 1 week to go. And we have a full slate of NFL games. We want to thank our sponsors. That's West Central Trophies, ACC Midwest Transportation, Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, and the United States Marine Corps. If we can help you out in any way, shoot us a text on that Loon text line, 320-434-1234. For Eric LeBratton, Justin Havemeyer, and Jack Culbertson, my name is John Jennings. We will see you next week on the Fantasy Football Foursome.